From the KBUT News Satellite Studio in Mount Crested Butte, I'm Christopher Biddle with your local newscast for Thursday, August 20th. The Pine Gulch Fire near Grand Junction and the Grizzly Creek Fire near Glenwood Springs continue to grow as historic dry and hot conditions persist across much of Colorado. A red flag warning remains in effect for most of the western slope, with temperatures forecast in the hundreds in the low-lying areas. On Wednesday, the temperature at the Colorado National Monument hit 101 degrees, besting the previous high record of 99 set in 2002. A small wildfire in the West Elk Wilderness appears to be mostly contained. The Mill Creek Fire was discovered Monday, burning in brush and dry grass about 12 miles northwest of Gunnison. Here's Gunnison County Emergency Management Director Scott Morrill.
Forest Service is really confident that they have it handled. No growth yesterday. They have a line around 70% of it. And they actually used the word mop up when I was talking to them last night. So, fingers crossed. They threw a lot of stuff at a pretty small fire, which was impressive, and looks like they got it knocked down. So,
the latest official estimate is that the Mill Creek Fire has burned about 5 acres. There are at least 50 firefighters working in steep, rugged terrain to contain the fire. Portions of the Mill Castle Trail remain closed. State officials are warning the public about the health effects of wildfire smoke, with several other large wildfires burning around Colorado, including the Pine Gulch, which is now the second largest in state history. Much of the state is experiencing poor air quality. Andrea Holland is an air resource advisor for the Forest Service.
So if it does get smoky and you start feeling it when you're outside, go inside, close the doors. If you have an air conditioner with a HEPA filter, run that.
Holland noted that children, elderly, and pregnant women were most susceptible to poor air quality.
And anyone who has COVID or is recovering from COVID-19, they are also going to be particularly sensitive to smoke.
The CDC recently put out a set of guidelines concerning wildfire smoke and COVID-19. This comes as wildfires across the western U.S. threaten property and force evacuations. As schools across our region continue to weigh how or if to reopen, there's one option that's not really being talked about: moving classrooms outdoors. Amanda Peacher reports.
You hear about staggered schedules, hybrid learning, and social distance desk arrangements, but most schools aren't set up for outdoor instruction. They might need shade structures, tents, heat lamps for that to be a viable option. However, there's broad consensus that you're significantly less likely to catch COVID-19 outdoors.
I think the biggest challenge that schools face is a challenge of the imagination.
Craig Strang is Associate Director of the Lawrence Hall of Science at UC Berkeley. He says schools don't always think of the outdoors as an environment where learning can take place.
The opposite is actually true, that kids are more engaged in the natural world that can be the source of deep and profound learning.
One study found that increased exposure to green spaces improved elementary school children's cognitive development. Another study showed that moving classes outside can improve well-being and test scores. While proposals for outdoor classrooms are largely absent in our region, outdoor preschools, however, have become a thing. A new forest school in Boise, for example, is at maximum capacity for the fall. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Amanda Peacher.
And this is KBUT. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expanding hunting and fishing access to nearly 150 national wildlife refuges and fish hatcheries around the U.S. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck has more.
Some wildlife refuges have been open to hunting and fishing for years, but the agency says this is the largest single expansion in its history. It affects more than a dozen refuges in our region. John Gale is with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. He says the expansion could help boost a shrinking number of hunters, which in turn is shrinking conservation funding.
State Fish and Wildlife Management agencies generate most of the revenue that pays for all fish and wildlife management, for the most part, from hunters and anglers through the sale of hunting and fishing licenses.
And excise taxes. Still, Colette Adkins isn't impressed. She's with the Center for Biological Diversity, which plans to challenge the expansion in court.
We just keep on finding ways to intrude on the few remaining safe havens that wildlife have. And those impacts just snowball.
Federal officials say this was part of an effort to align hunting and fishing on its lands with nearby state public lands. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
In Colorado, the change opens up sport fishing in the Alamosa National Wildlife Refuge. It also opens up moose and pronghorn hunting on the Browns Park National Wildlife Refuge and expands elk hunting in the Monte Vista National Wildlife Refuge. This is KBUT Community Radio News. Thanks for tuning in.